Yes, it is. Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. Father God, we just praise Psalms 91 over all of our brothers and sisters and our families, Lord, for this time that we're in. They're turning loose some garbage that they want to hurt a lot of folks. But Lord, we come against it for your people, for all of our brothers and sisters. And we do. We pray Psalms 91, protection over every one of them in Jesus' name. And our families too. You told us we could pray for our families and you would save them too. And Lord, I believe that my family and all of my brothers and sisters' families are protected by the shield of God. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for giving us a leading tonight onto what you want to talk about. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all that's going to be accomplished tonight, because you're going to lead us and guide us and even maybe possibly and will give us the answers to our questions. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for the healings. Thank you for the deliverances. Thank you for the people coming into the kingdom because of what you're doing in their hearts, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Let me ask this before we get started. Did everybody get a copy of what I sent out as far as the pestilence? I don't do that, Missy. You got this. What's he talking about? I know you got it because you heard it. All right. But anyway, Shalonda had a dream night before last. No, what's today? Tuesday. Last night, night before last, that she had gone by Taco Bell and the angels took her above the clouds and they saw the planes spraying over above the clouds where nobody could see them, chemtrail. And that's what they were doing here. My daughter called me this morning and told me it looked like a checkerboard over there in Central Arkansas where they were spraying them. So all we got to do is believe God. That's all we got to do. He said he's going to take care of our family. I believe it. And I prayed for them. And we just now pray for all of our families. So praise God. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? I want y'all to believe with me for Julie. In the name of Jesus, right now, I command any tiredness to be gone, any sluggishness to be gone from her body in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that your supernatural energy, the Holy Spirit, will just fill her up, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. She's doing this. Her neighbor, next door neighbor, a great service to helping him. He's in a new world now. He doesn't know how to operate in it. And Lord, she's guiding him and showing him and helping him do the things that has to be done. And Father, I thank you for blessing Julie mightily in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep her supernaturally energized. And with great strength, wisdom, and discernment in this job you've got her on right now, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, I thank you for healing Fred where he don't have to put up with that. In Jesus' name, we command those eyes to see. We command the eyes to be healed in Jesus' name. I don't know what this disease is, but it doesn't make any difference. I command you out of his eyes. I command those eyes to be restored as new to your glory, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that this prayer is going to be answered, already has been answered. And I praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody believe it? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Fred, you're healed. In Jesus' name. All right, anybody else? Y'all want to hear a good praise song? Huh? All right. I got one loaded up here. See if I can do this. Well,
gone when the cold winds blow. Some are there for laughter, but vanish when troubles show. The crowd just fades away, till I met one who stayed beside me. Every night and day, sighs a friend who sticks closer than a brother ever could. He knows my deepest failures, still he calls me good. When the night is heavy.
Yes, he's using a Derilla pillow. How can you tell? Have you heard about Derilla Ergo? It's the cutting-edge ergonomic.
My hope is nearly gone. That friend walks with me till the morning comes. Sunshine, he's there through every storm. With his arms wide open, keeping my heart warm. Slide. Sticks closer Jesus, my forever friend. Jesus, my forever friend.
It's called Proverbs in Blues. I tend to like blues. That's the reason I played it. If somebody's got something else they'd rather hear, we can play that too. What do you think about it, Andrew? Do you like blues? Proverbs blues?
I always do like the Proverbs, but the blues, it's kind of like a slow song. I do like it. I like it a lot, actually.
It's simple.
It's
That's why I
simple.
like it. Yeah.
It's easy to listen to. It's
Yeah.
slow, and it's got a nice music to it.
Yeah.
It makes
That's
you
why.
think when people are singing the blues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I find it does.
Yeah, I love the blues. He's got another album called The Songs Made for the Blues. That's a good song, good one too. Okay. Nice twangy. Vanita, it ain't twangy. What's twangy? That's country. That ain't blues.
What's the guy's name, Michael?
I don't know. I'm not sure, Patrick, but the album, you can go to YouTube and type in Proverbs in Blues, in the Blues, and it'll come up, or the Psalms Made for the Blues. And it's the same guy. You have to be careful sometimes on those kind of things because they slip in some worldly mu music too. There you go. Ben did it. I guess that's it. Yep. Nice twangy. Okay. All right. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? All right, Missy, you got a testimony? All right, go ahead.
I had an awesome weekend with my family. This is like a lot of things there's some things that happened beforehand and things during and things afterwards. But it's pretty cool. Well, the first thing is my son Curtis, when I was talking to him about going. He said he talked to Matt and Megan, and which is my other son and daughter-in-law, and they said, Saturday, we could all come over there. Kurt said he was, well, first of all, I actually th was thinking, well, the last time Kurt said that the next time I come, he's gonna smoke a pork butt and make pulled pork. And I was thinking, he said he was going to do that. So then when I talked to him and he said we were going to go to Matt and Megan's, he said he was going to do that. And I said, I was just thinking about that. And he said that, well, I was going to do it anyway this weekend. So we'll just take it over to Matt and Megan's. And so I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Anyway, so I was just thinking about it, and the Lord put it in my heart to make this salad with a pound of my grape tomatoes that I have. And it's a pretty neat salad. Julie sent it to me. It was off YouTube, but I thought, well, I'm gonna go to the website, and I looked at it at the web on the website, the whole recipe and stuff, and I'm gonna go look at the comments. And the very last comment that was made was this woman says something to the effect, "I made this today to go with pulled pork sandwiches." And I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. That's you. That's you. You're telling me that's what you wanted me to do. I was like, yeah, that's so cool. Anyway, so then Well, we get there and we go to my mom and dad's first and take them out to dinner and everything. And I don't think there was anything particularly to share about that whole thing that I can think of offhand. Nothing came to me about that. But so then Saturday morning, I was like, Lord, what are we going to do until 1 o'clock? You know, I don't want to be stuck in this hotel room. You know, what are we going to do in this hotel room? You know, till 1 o'clock, you know, or a little before one, before we have to go to Kurt and Brooks. And he put it into me to see if my sister was going to be home and go visit her and her husband, Frank. And so I text her and she said, yeah, you can come. And then a little later she texts me and she actually called me back because I called her. And she said, well, I was gonna trim my hair after I took a shower, but would you like to do it? And I said, sure. And so we had a good visit with my sister and Frank a couple hours, and I told her, I said, just one thing that we gotta stop and get for this salad, and I didn't want to get it ahead of time because that has a tendency to wilt easily, and that's cilantro. She says, well, I have some extra cilantro that I can give you. And I said, oh, cool, thank you, you know. So we went to Matt and Megan's, actually, I'm sorry. We went to Kurt and Brooks then, and I cut Brooks' hair and Blake's hair and gave Blake her birthday gift for her 5th birthday. We didn't get to go the previous weekend, not the 2 weekends before that, because Merle wasn't feeling good. And so we had a good time there. And then we went over to Matt and Megan's then and had dinner and everything, and I had a really good time with the grandkids. And you know, and I just like I was like realizing and thanking the Lord that we didn't get to go for her birthday party, because I wouldn't have had the time that I did with the boys and the girls and the grandkids like I did at, you know, when we went to Matt and Megan. So I was like, thank you, Lord, you know. 'Cause it was funny. Little Maverick, he's 2, he's gonna be 3 in October. He comes up to me from behind me and I was like kind of like sitting down on the floor, and he grabs me around my neck from the back and puts his legs around me, and Kurt says, now, Maverick, remember I said you gotta be careful grabbing people around their necks like that, you know? So I said, do you want a piggyback ride? And he says, yeah. So then the next thing you know, little Ryder, which he's going to be 4 in September, he says, I want to turn then. And then Blake says, I want to turn. So we did that. And then I turned them upside down and, you know, hanging them by their legs. And they had, all had to have a turn at that too. And then I got selected to go down in the basement and let them run rampant and play and scream and holler. And Brooke was laughing. She says, you're working off your dinner. But anyway, so then we had a good time at, you know, there and everything. And so I had said to Merle about maybe Sunday morning, late Sunday morning, after my mom and dad watched their church live stream. I knew it was over probably around 11, and I called mom and asked her, and she said, yeah, usually 11, quarter to 11, 11 o'clock. Well, when we got there, it was still going. And I'm like, oh, I was hoping to avoid this, having to listen to that, you know. And plus, I didn't want to interrupt it anyway. But it wasn't, I don't think the whole thing was this, but at the tail end, it was a gimme sermon. And it was like, I'm like, and they were talking about, how they're gonna pay down debt, and he I forget how he said this, but it was something to the effect about, there's some of you that are, I forget how he said it, but basically it's just, so it was, is you're well off, and you're gonna leave a lot of money and gonna leave a lot of money behind, and that would be a good opportunity, or something to help us pay down our debt or something like that, and whatever. And I'm like groaning inside, But anyway, it was, I'm like thinking, oh my gosh. Anyway, so on our way home, I looked and I saw the Bible study was posted. So I started listening to that, and I was like half sleeping, 'cause I was tired, but I was listening, and I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, is this like totally opposite of what I heard previously? And I'm like, Lord, you're so cool. I'm like, you're so cool. And what the Lord showed me was, is the weekend, Oh, and another thing is, I forgot to say, is my mom said to me, she had forgot, she would had something that she wanted to give to me. We didn't originally plan to go over that morning before we left. Anyway, she had something that she wanted to give to me that she forgot. And so she went in the bedroom, and I went in after her to see what she was talking about. And here she pulls out this blouse. She says, I bought this, but it's too tight on me. Would you, here, you can have it if you'd like to. And it's a pretty blouse, And I was like, Lord, you're so cool. There was what the Lord showed me through the whole weekend. There was a lot of giving and receiving, and it was just so cool. It was just so cool. I was just like, and I just love this Bible study, not just because I had that experience. And plus also, I've been, giving the neighbors, my next beside me, and the lady down the street. I gave her some grape tomatoes and cucumber, and been giving it back and forth. And my next door neighbor, I asked her, I said, can you check the garden and pick any tomatoes, grape tomatoes and regular tomatoes that might be ripe. And I said, you can keep whatever ones you want. She really likes the grape tomatoes. But anyway, she kept some. But between what she picked and I picked when I came home, when I got home, of just the regular tomatoes, it's 3 pounds worth of tomatoes at least. It might have been a little bit more than that, but I know it was. I'm not sure if I weighed all of them, because I was weighing them to see if I had enough to make tomato soup again. But anyway, so it was just like, it was all this giving and receiving, and I'm like, oh, I was just so blessed when the Lord was showing me all this, it was just so cool, and given the neighbors over here, they're called, their last name is Bushy. It's given me opportunity to speak to Jill next door, more, and just putting little things into the Lord now and then. And we got to talking, and she was saying how old she was, and I said, really? I'm only 3 months older than her. And I thought you were younger than me. So I found out that we're the same age, but anyway, it's just kind of cool. And I'm just looking for just a real open door to really, really share the gospel. And her youngest son, he's 24, I think. I don't know if I shared this, but I think I did. I saw him one day on the deck, and I saw him looking at a book, and I'm like, that looks like a Bible, because the brown and the orange stripe on it. And I've gotten to talk to him about the Lord a little bit. He was going to move to Florida and had a job down there, and he decided not to, and it wasn't what he wanted, and the Lord has changed things around. He said he realizes that all these things that have happened was for a reason, for him to realize that he says, I am too active of a person to sit in a chair and sit behind a desk. So he changed. He's going to be doing an apprenticeship, doing something, whatever. So I told him, I just said to him, yeah, the Lord opens doors and closes doors and stuff. And he's all excited about the direction that he's changed. And I'm just wondering where I'm wondering if it's through friends or what. He definitely has an interest in the Lord because he was reading his Bible and he's open to hearing. But anyway, so the Lord's cool. The Lord's awesome. Lord, you're so awesome. And I just love this Bible study. It's so encouraging to me. Like I said, not just because I had that experience, but it's really good. And I even asked Merle. I said, did because he, I had it playing in the car on the way home. I said, did you notice that what mom and dad's preacher was talking about and what David talking about was the same thing, and how different they were? He said, yeah, we had a little bit of a conversation about that, and that was good. So it's just like, Lord, you're awesome. Thank you, Lord, for and this is only what I see, that you're doing. And I know you're doing super abundantly above all that I ask or think, and things, you're working in all these situations, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for being such a awesome God and a provider, and we don't have to buy and sell, and we just give and receive, and it's such a joy to do that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for those opportunities and the more opportunities to just live it out in a greater and greater way. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else got something they want to share? You're unmuted, Missy.
Okay, sorry.
That's okay. Anybody got anything they want to share? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to pray. We have for a friend of Kathy and I's. First, I'd like to pray for my wife. She has came home today, and she has this. She it just came upon her suddenly. Some sort of an allergy or something, and her mouth was, kind of swollen up and everything. So I'm not really sure what's happening there, but I just wanted to pray for that. And thank you, Lord, for your healing of Kathy. I just thank you that by your stripes we were healed, and we are delivered from all these things, these diseases, these curses that are on the world. Lord, you've given us your word. You've given us your truth. You've given us your life. And we just give you ours in gratitude, Lord. And we thank you for it. Thank you for your word that you're working in us and in my family. In Jesus' name. We went over, we had a We're going to take a vacation in Outer Banks here in a few weeks, and we it's kind of a yearly, I mean, a tradition. You know, we've been doing it for quite a while with a group of friends that we met through different relationships, homeschooling, and that sort of thing. And so, and anyway, we so up we had a preparatory meeting, basically a pool meeting, a picnic, and kind of a got together just to enjoy the day and then kind of plan for this trip to the Outer Banks. And we have usually there's usually about 8 couples that go, and then you know we share dinners, make dinners, and you know choose teams to you know wash dishes and all that sort of stuff. And then we have a Bible studies every morning. I asked the Lord. It was just kind of a flippant, you know, Lord, would you give me? I'd like to be able to talk to somebody a little, you know, with a little more depth than, you know, planning, you know, how many plates to bring and this and that and whatever, you know. So anyway, I got to talking with one of the couples that was there, and her name is Karen. And you know, everybody kind of met around, a lot of people then went out to the pool, and she was talking to me, and I just one thing led to the next, and I kind of gave my she was is feeling a bit what do you say? She was feeling a bit like she's not being fed, you know, in her the church that she's in. She feels, you know, like, you know, to put it her words, she was kind of dying, you know, in that process. And it just kind of opened up conversations, you know, or I was, you know, able to share my testimony and you know just talked about you know how the Lord works and it just brought to my mind, you know, she's seeing that just the lack of depth of faith and you know in that environment. So I'm not really going to say much more of that. Just it is kind of an, you know, it's kind of like the church system out there that promotes people into authority without really going through their own personal wilderness life and receiving God's spirit to really be able to transfer that life of Christ to others, you know, through the word and through testimony and whatever. So, and you know, she was just you could tell that she's just crying out inside there, you know, and I just, you know, my heart goes out for those people. But it's so it's kind of I'm going to say a delicate situation that you know you so anyway forget that I'm just going to say I just want to pray for her. Father, just thank you for the work that you're doing in Karen and what you how you've drawn her. Lord, you took her through many different you know church environments through her life Episcopal and Baptist, and took a pass through the Pentecostal flavor and all different sorts there where Lord, you opened her eyes, you opened her heart, and put a desire in her for more of you and more of the reality of Christ, more of the reality of the Word of God and faith and these things that these promises in your Word that don't appear to be realized in a lot of the church environment out there. So, Lord, I just thank you for that work you're doing in here. Just ask you to put your spirit upon her, bring her into the place, and give her grace to desire to reach out and receive your Holy Spirit in more depth. Lord, I can tell that there's a certain depth of spirit there that tends to separate. That stands out in her life, and I thank you for that. Thank you for that sensitivity, and thank you for that work that you've done in her life. Just ask you to bless her, lead her, feed her in this environment, strengthen her, Lord, in her particular situation. Give her grace to. I know that just sometimes in that. In an environment that's hard to deal with, even though it's not like she is, in an oppressed situation. She's just needing and wanting more and feeling the need for more. So I just trust you that you know how to lead your children. You know how to lead us home. And I just trust you're doing that very thing in Karen. Just bless her heart, bless her desire. Stir up that desire to know you and walk with you in all your ways. And bless her, open up her heart to the Word and give her new vision, new seeing. And allow her, Lord, that through your Word, that her life would permeate the lives of others as she draws close to you and touches the very words and your truth and your reality, and just make it alive in the others that she associates with. And we thank you for it. Just bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else?
So I have a kind of a just a little experience that I'd like to share real quick. Actually, it's not an experience. It's I was thinking about a scripture, and for whatever reason, it was just a little small little change in the words. Not change in the words, but change in the pattern of the words, that it kind of reflects a different meaning. And I was looking at Mark 16, verse 17, where Jesus is talking about it's the Great Commission. You call it, obviously called the Great Commission, but he's talking about in 15. He said, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. Believe in, and then this is how it reads with the punctuation. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons, and they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, etc., lay hands on the sick, etc. This is the thing that the Lord kind of accentuated. And it was when I was reading that, he took the colon, removed the colon out of behind the word believe. And so that it reads, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out demons? They shall speak with new tongues." And if you read that, how I've always read it, these signs shall accompany them that believe. And it leaves it in a bit of a nebulous state, believe, which I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that it leaves it in a sense disjointed from in my name, because that part that says in my name shall they cast out demons. Because when we command, we always traditionally put in, we tend to traditionally put on, in the name of Jesus, such and such, such and such. I lay hands on the sick, such and such. In the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus, leave this person, etc. But this was just a subtle little change. These signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. It puts the onus on me to believe in his name, believe in his name. And it kind of just changed a bit of a perspective in me that these actions that take place afterwards are a result of not foundationally something that I said or say, in the name of Jesus, such and such. But it's the fact that I believe in the authority, the power, the character, everything that name represents. That's what I believe. So these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. So I don't know if I'm like over accentuating that thought, or even if it's even hitting anyone else, but to me, it just seemed to just kind of a holy pause. Think about that. I had to think about that, meditate. These signs shall accompany them that believe on my name. They shall cast out, they shall this, they shall that. So it's the power and the authority and the character and everything connected to his name and what it represents. So I don't know, I just, not a major thing, but I felt like I wanted to toss that out there. It just kind of hit me. So I wanted to share it.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pat. All right. Anyone else got something they want to share? Yeah, Debbie.
I just want to say to Pat, I think that's very interesting to bring that up like that. Yeah, that's, I never thought of looking at it that way, but it could be. It should be. It's interesting. Thank you. I'm good to think on.
Amen. I got a little bit of something that I want to share with you and ask some questions here. God's put His Holy Spirit in us. It's that same spirit that Jesus had in Him. So that's the same spirit that raised him from the dead, set him up there at the right hand of the Father. Now, the spirit is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what accounts for the different levels of power that we have from the spirit? Has anybody got a answer to that? How do we see such a variedness in the power of God in one person and a different circumstance of power coming out of another person? One person may have, every time he prays for somebody, somebody gets touched or healed, and somebody else can pray for him, and it's liable to take forever. Can somebody give a little bit of understanding here as to why that is? Like, why would I have less power than, say, Pat or Andrew or Julie or anybody else? Go ahead, Pat.
Well, initially, the couple things that come to my mind first, and that is just the natural, normal gifts that the Lord has given everyone in his body. And every one of us has that which what we were created with by the Father, number one, and therefore there's and plus we are all coming from a different background, even though we're all common, have the same common background, but every one of us has to follow the Lord and learn to overcome, even as he overcome those inner challenges that we all have, that we all inherited from the Adam, package, so to speak. So there's just kind of that natural, normal difference between us, or between people. But there's also a level there's th there's a level of maturity. We are all start by being born again. We're born as children, and just like Jesus, he was filled from with the Spirit from the very beginning, and at an early age of 9 or 12 or whatever that example is, when he went to the temple, and the teachers around him could see that there was some marvelous and spectacular understanding, a depth of understanding in him that stood out. Yet he was still a child, and he, scripture said he turned and, after a conversation with his mother, that got a little bit angry at him for hanging around the temple. But it says that he went, with her and was subject unto his parents, and therefore grew in wisdom and strength and whatever. So there's a certain aspect of maturity that, God is raising children. He's raising us up through the ranks, through teenhood, through the trials and tribulations of our life and our childhood and training, until we get to a place where we become suns. So there's different levels of, sun, moon, and star glory, or star, moon, and sun glory, or however you want to say it. So there's all of that package happening. And then the final thing I would say, well, that's a mistake. That's probably not the final thing I would ever say. But there's the fact that we were born into the kingdom for such a time as this. And we are on the prophetically the morning of the seventh day, the 7,000, thousand year time period, when we have just we've gone through a world that, crucified Christ, and Christianity was birthed into the earth, and yet it flourished for a certain amount of time and was, buried in the earth. And now God is raising up that I'm going to say the dead bones of that religion, and raising it back up in these final days to create something even more spectacular than the first and second temple, a temple made without hands, that is able to conquer and overcome by the power of the blood of Christ and our testimony, and bring us into a state of mind and heart where we don't even consider the loss of our life as primary importance. So God is doing, he's doing a thing now that hasn't been done in any time in the past, other than by pattern. But anyway, so that's just kind of the thoughts I had about it.
Okay, well, I should have made this qualification in that statement, and the statement is this: is that the power of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it was in Jesus powerfully, and you were right in that. I believe that the reason that there is such a variance in the power of God is the stripping away of the humanity of that person, the flesh of that person. And the more flesh that you peel away, the more flesh that you get rid of, the more of the Spirit of God can come out, and the power of God works a lot more powerfully. Jesus, if you remember, he didn't do anything but what the Lord showed him to, his father told him to do. He was constantly talking to his father. He had a personal, intimate relationship with his father that we have the same access that he did. But we tend to get in the flesh too much and get distracted. But I believe you're right, Pat, that in the days ahead, the Lord is going to make it evident that he's the one that we need to seek, rather than YouTube and other things that we get between us and the Lord. And when that happens, and I believe it's happening even as we speak, people are starting to wake up that God is more important in their lives than anything else. You wait. If y'all got the blog, you understand what I'm talking about, or the message that I sent out. That's to bring people closer to God and to get rid of the others, I believe. And but I believe that the more of our flesh that we get rid of, that the Lord helps us to get rid of, the more we're going to see the power of God working instantaneously, because there's nothing left to hinder it. You're dead to everything but the Spirit of God. And when you're dead to everything but the Spirit of God, you have the full force of the Spirit of God working for you. Remember what Jesus did. There's people in the flesh that have done this, basically the same things that Jesus did. Jesus did many times, he said, and he healed them all. How many times did T.L. Osborne do that over in India? He didn't have time to go out there and lay hands on thousands and thousands of Indians out there. And not all of them were saved. But God healed them all. Why did he heal them? As a sign. He always said it's a sign. It's a sign of God's glory and his mercy upon them. That's the signs and wonders we're going to see. And for one thing, to fill up God's kingdom. And I believe that the more that we get, the closer that we become to the Lord. And I'm speaking to myself as well. The more power we're going to see, the more instantaneously we're going to see healings. We're going to speak it and going to believe it. We don't have faith in our faith. We have our trust in God, right? I don't have any faith in my faith. I have my faith in God. It's God that my job is to lay hands on them. It's God's job to heal them. Is that not right? I couldn't heal a flea if I wanted to. But I can do what he told me to do, to lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed. They shall recover. Okay, go ahead, Pat.
I'm sorry, I must have hit the button. I'll lower my hand.
Okay. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, the Lord put a word in my head, Emmanuel. And you know the word Emmanuel in the beginning of the Gospels? But isn't it also in 3:3 of Colossians? For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then he said, well, Andrew, what about the other one there? And, you know, in Colossians again, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, right there in 1:27, you know. And, you know, what about all the others, you know? What about, but we all with an unveiled face behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord? And I got glory. Well, glory. You know about glory there in the first chapter of John. You get the word first, and then you get the life, and then you get the light, Emmanuel. And he's going and he's telling me, and what about all the blessings in Matthew chapter 5? You know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of the heavens. You know, he's going to fill you up with righteousness too in those 9 blessings, and then at the end you get persecuted. But you know, you got to be merciful when you're going through them too, because you need that blessing. You know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, and of course you're gonna mourn, but you're gonna be comforted, and the comforter comes how? Well, he's the Holy Spirit in his name, who's gonna teach you all things and remind you. Well, does he not remind you? Does he not put things in your head? Aren't like we get really angry when the other one puts stuff in our head, but now just let God fill your head up and your mind, your heart and stuff. Just let the Emmanuel be the Emmanuel. And I think that's a real restful place if you can really step into that where you're supposed to be. You know, enter his rest with thanksgiving in your heart. They used to sing that song in one of the churches. Enter his rest with joy, which would be the second fruit of the whole. But that's all the blessings that he's given you. And Emmanuel, God with us. You know, For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And you know, he does say, if any love me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come. And that's the same thing as, for ye died and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we will come and make our abode with you, Emmanuel. And I don't know if it's every single verse that you can think of for salvation and for righteousness and for truth and for peace and for faith and for the word of God, that it is all Emmanuel. And you know, you spend a, sometimes you get in these really close to God, and then you get really down low in a low place somewhere, and then you think, oh man, he left me, you know. And I think he's trying to train us not to get up on the high mountain, not to get down in the valley, but to be on the straight and narrow on that level path, you know, and because that's where Emmanuel is. And I can explain it well, but sometimes people can't really explain that Emmanuel so well. So he's with us, and then, you know, you get the covenant from the greatest of them to the least of them. No one's going to have to tell you what it is there. And as it says in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10, you know, for all shall know him from the least to the greatest of them. That's a man.
I'm thinking about,
you know, and the opposing covenant is coming from Daniel 9:27. And there's a wing of abominations there. And you don't want that covenant. Because you know, the one that's at the very tip of the wing, or as the King James says, the pinnacle of abominations, the last one. Well, we all know what that has to be. It has to be in accordance to Matthew 24:15, where talks about Daniel, and it talks about you're going to see something. And I remember once a person quoted that verse to me and told me, this is what you're not going to see, because he's got a different prophecy about it and teaching. But you know, it says something like, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of in Daniel standing in a holy place, they put the there, but it's a holy place, and then in the brackets, let him that readeth understand. Well, if you have the understanding, because the person in the first land of the parable was sower lacked understanding, but the person in the fourth land was the only one that had all the understanding. And understanding is a glory that's with Emmanuel. And because it's the glory of God. It's the light that's in you. It's the light that's in the temple. One of the lights on the menorah was understanding. And we don't carry, at least I don't anyway, it'd be really burning if you put you don't swallow a real old oil lamp. So, but it's in there because you're a child of light, according to that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So this light of understanding is there. But you know, when you read the Proverbs, you get to the understanding. That means you already got the wisdom and you already got the fear of the Lord. And you can't let the dark side tell you you don't have this. That's just, we don't have communion with him. And because we've got Emmanuel. And that Emmanuel, if anyone love me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come and make our abode with him. And that's your new home. I go to prepare a place for you, as it says in 14 of John. But what's God? God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But that's Emmanuel. And you're supposed to be a child of this light, and you're supposed to imitate this light. That's Emmanuel. all these different, walk in love, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. So that's Emmanuel. Your walk is Emmanuel now. He walks through you because he lives in you. And all your walk has to be Emmanuel. All that goes into your head has to be Emmanuel. So if something foreign is trying to get in there, I mean, most of you go to work and talk to people, you know, but sometimes it's really hard to see any sort of little pieces of Emmanuel in these people because of the great division that's in all the different churches. I mean, there's so much division, you know, that it's very bad if you think about the history of mankind since the cross and resurrection and what they call the church and all these different things that have happened in history, that it really isn't that light that you're supposed to have. But some of them have a portion of light. We all did. A long time ago, you know, you got more light now than you ever had before. So I sometimes think, you know, well, I'm giving you all this stuff. Maybe we have to catch up now. God's saying that to us. I've given you all this. Now you got to catch up. You know what's right. I mean, if he's going to tell you and remind you what he taught you, for what purpose is he reminding us? But the Comforter is part of Emmanuel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then you got dunked. That's Emmanuel. You are immersed in all three. And the dark side is trying to tell you, oh, you got nothing, man. And you got everything. It is finished. And sometimes, you know, you just freak out when you read those verses there, when you got God the Father in you and the Son at the same time. And you wonder, how did Jesus hear from the Father all the time? And how did he do what the Father told him to do all the time? Well, that's Emmanuel. And you got Jesus in you, and you got God. You know, you read the one God and Father of us all, who is over all. So he's even outside of you now, and he's with your brother. So, and he's supposed to be closer to you than a brother. So that's Emmanuel too. But if everyone has him in him, then, and you're all supposed to be one body and one spirit and one hope of the hope of your, that's Emmanuel, those seven ones. And overall, in all, that's the Father in you. And overall, in all, and through all, that's Emmanuel. And you know, the Second Corinthians 6 and 16, for what agreement had God's sanctuary with, he's even showing you what's on the right hand, what's with idols, and what's on the left hand. Know ye not that ye are the sanctuary of? That's Emmanuel. And God saith that, I will dwell in them and walk. Now go through all those walking verses, man, because that's Emmanuel. No greater grace do I have than to see my children walking in the truth. That's Emmanuel. You know it's the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, they say that grace is unmerited favor. And I was just thinking about grace. Just the word, you know, five-letter word. Singing Amazing Grace and the other grace song that I wrote down. And then I went, wait a minute. Is it unmerited favor only from your first time you were loved and you were birthed? And now he's going to give you grace because you got Emmanuel. Favor. With Jesus, Pat brought it up in the book of Luke, that he grew in favor with God and man. Grace is Emmanuel. He says you can be strengthened in it too. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I think it's 2 Timothy 2 and 1. That's Emmanuel. He tells you to, He's telling you to have more authority. The name, I think, is part of the mark, the image, the name, and it's part of that sign that you're supposed to be. That sign is spoken against. How many times were you spoken against on Emmanuel's behalf? That's Emmanuel too, in the other way, you know. And we want to get along with our brothers and sisters. God is the one who is sovereign. He has to correct us, and he has to give us a journey in the wilderness, and he's the only one who can do it for us, and that's part of our Emmanuel. And that's who we have to depend on to take us through our journey. So that's just me actually adding to some of the things, because it's Emmanuel. You know, I didn't think I had too much to talk about today. And I said, Lord, I don't know. I don't want to talk today because I got nothing to talk about. And he gave me a little lesson on Emmanuel, because I was going, oh, Emmanuel, I had the one verse there, you know, until I saw another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it's verse 4. And even the boldness verses that we're supposed to have, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence unto his faith. Do I have to say it again? Guess what that is? That's Emmanuel. So praise and glory to God. He's put all these words in you. They're active words. Living is the word of God and active. Now he's telling me something else that's Emmanuel. And in him, you know, Greek poetry. You know, I can say it in English. I don't know how to speak Greek, but in him we live, move, and have our being. Right there in the book of Acts. Guess what that is? You know, sometimes, you know, I think we got some really hard heads, but we're supposed to have helmets on. So I've got to take the helmet off once in a while, put in a couple of other things in there. You know, and you don't want the, you know, there's a lot that's Emmanuel, but there's one that's not. And he's at the left hand of God the Father. And that's not Emmanuel. That's where the goats are. And you got to be careful, you know, you don't degrade a world leader when he doesn't have it right, or a mayor, or a senator, you know, or a state governor. If you're there and you're a person that can be in court with these people in their house or something, then hopefully that's Emmanuel should come to them too, you know, because it's quite tough, you know, they have a tough job, you know, they deal with words all the time. And I prefer to be a person who used to work in a print shop. I deal with words all the time, but they're not my words. I just put them on paper, you know. And but God has you as a piece of paper, because you're known and read of all men, and that's a man. When he puts that writing upon your soul by the Holy Spirit, that's Emmanuel, man. You know, there's a lot of Emmanuel verses, you know. So, you know, it's some of us might want to turn to be Spanish now and be Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I don't know. It's just a joy to see what the Lord has for us and has in store for us, and how he can activate it whenever he wants, because that's Emmanuel, right? He can make that word active in you. Now you cooperate with him, of course, and I guess if you're ever were a dad and you had a little boy, you sometimes tried to trick him into doing what is right. Okay. And you as a father or a mother knew how to do that, or even a big brother or a younger brother, or, you know, you could be an uncle and you got the people coming over with their siblings, you know, your siblings, nieces and nephews, you do the same thing. And it's naturally known for older people to do that to younger people, you know, and it's sometimes a more graphic way of them learning things. Come on, man, this is the graphic way God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ deals with us too. That's Emmanuel. And I just cut that one now and I'm getting spooked. This is a good kind of spooky, so praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen to that, Andrew. Go ahead, Pat.
So I just want to pick up where Andrew was kind of left off. I would actually was looking at those verses when Andrew read it, which is kind of interesting, but it was 2 Corinthians 3:1 about that Emmanuel, that God with us, you know, and obviously in this covenant relationship, it's God in us. Are we beginning again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some do, epistles of commendation to you and from you? Actually, I didn't even want to read that verse. It was too wordy. But ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, being made manifest, or obviously revealed, that ye are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in tables that are hearts of flesh. And such confidence have we through Christ to you, to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Obviously, because Paul is depending upon that Emmanuel, Christ in him, to provide this ministerial food to these Corinthians through him, who also made us sufficient as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And I was thinking of that verse in John 14 that, let me flip over there real quick, that Andrew was talking about. I think I've been in John 14 for a few weeks now, bouncing in and out. But in verse 10, Jesus is explaining what Paul was explaining and what Andrew was alluding to in that Emmanuel, God with us. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not for myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth the works. So Jesus was bringing to light that in him, in his spirit, there was another spirit that he had as well, accompanying him, and that was the spirit of the Father, which he received in pattern at the baptism of water when he came to John. And of course, John said, "Wait a minute. I should be the one being baptized by you." And Jesus said, "Well, I mean, I paraphrase this, but he said, we're establishing a pattern here, and this is the pattern. Let us fulfill the righteousness of this pattern." And Jesus was baptized in water. And after that, after he raised up in a separate instance, the Holy Spirit manifested and came down and alighted him and on him and in him, the Spirit of the Father. And therefore, Jesus had dwelling in him the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of the Father, which is a pattern for us who are. Which is clarified and established through the book of Acts, that the receiving of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus is the act of repentance, and receiving that born again experience, and after that, hopefully as close as possible, we ask Jesus to receive the spirit of our Father, as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, of the experience of receiving the spirit of our Father, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us in the heavenly, in our new heavenly realm. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. In other words, Jesus is saying, believe me that I have the spirit of the Father in me. He put his spirit in me. But if you have a hard time believing that, just believe the works that I do, because these works are done by my Father in heaven. He who dwells in me has the power to accomplish these works. But the Father abideth in me. He doeth his works. And even the verse that I alluded to before, that he that believeth in my name, these works shall follow, these signs shall follow. Not that we are believing in our name, our ability, our faith to trust and be strong and strengthened in the word and all of these things, which are absolutely essential and important, but that the foundation is not that, it's that we are believing in him who has chosen to dwell in us and his ability to do these works. So I don't know, I just kind of triggering off of what Andrew was saying. Thank you, Father, for revealing your word to us and opening up our eyes. Lord, give us grace just to rest in you and trust in you, in your name, within us. Give us grace to unleash, pull off the restraints, and let you live freely in our lives. And we thank you for it. Father, fill us with the Holy Spirit, that your works will be accomplished through us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen.
Glory to God. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
You know, Pat left off at the baptism of Jesus, and he was, the Holy Spirit descended and landed on him. And in the next chapter, he was led by that Spirit. And that's where he had his 40-day fast, too, eh? So he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And that's Emmanuel. Because, you know, God was with Jesus. And he conquered the devil. And then he tells us something in Luke. Also, Luke chapter 10, is it? 10, 10, 19, and 20. And he gives you some authority. I mean, it's not my authority. It's not your character or nature. That's Emmanuel. And we talked about love in the last, I'm telling you, love. Oh, God is love. You know, he even said it. He who abides in love abides in, and that's Emmanuel. Love never fails. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And when you get the love, it tells you on the next page, after the love chapter of 13, to pick up prophecy so that you can edify, exhort, and console. But it's Emmanuel. You know, I just want to give a picture of what you can see here. You know, you are a child of God, and don't try this with any children for real, but he just gave you a double barrel shotgun and you don't know how to use it. You know, he told us that he took all the armor off of this guy and he gave you a full suit of armor and a sword, and we're wondering, how do I use all this stuff? And well, I'm sorry, but it's Emmanuel doing it through us. You know, it's by his grace we are saved. We depend on God for everything. And, you know, sometimes you're kind of waiting for something so long. Is God going to speed this up for us? You know, I'm just speaking off the top of my head here, off the cuff. And just want Emmanuel, because that's what I got. And, you know, he called you to this, and he expects something out of you for this. You know, like the divine power verse of Peter that we all know in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 3. You know, since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life and godliness. Now that's a... Come on, man. Like, and the next verse is the promises, and you partake of the divine nature by the divine power, by the word of God. Because, you know, oh man, for no word of God shall be void of power. And I just said a word of God. I know it sounded like it came from Peter, but he had Emmanuel too, and he's our brother. And you know, I don't think I'll be able to make clothing, but, you know, that's Tabitha, and that's Emmanuel clothing now. And she prayed over the clothing. All those clothes she made, I don't know how she made all those clothes. You know, grandma's knitting away because the baby's coming, you know. and they're going to give that baby a new piece of clothing, and they're going to pray over that clothing, anoint it, do something with it. Come on. Like, I just thought of that one now. I'm sure some grandma thought of it. I'm sure Tabitha thought of it. And everyone's crying and holding the clothes and showing Peter. Look what she made me, Peter. Well, that's good. You know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ now. She made that in love for you as a brother and sister. She made it for Emmanuel. She made it for the one body, the one spirit, the one hope of the hope of your calling, the one Lord, which I believe is Jesus because of the last one, the one faith. Now, I don't know if you should call yourself this or that by these denominational terms, because it's one faith, and that's Emmanuel. It's spooky. I'm telling you, you can get Holy Ghost spooked. I'm telling you, I get a little nervous and edgy when I talk about this kind of stuff because I don't know why. I just think it's so good that you can taste it and go, man, this is ever good stuff we got. So. I don't know. Maybe I'm just dense or something. Well, you know, maybe I got to be on point, ready for whatever he wants me to do. Ready. He's making me ready. You know, we're told to get ready, but isn't he making us ready? We're told to watch in these days. Isn't he giving us the eyes to see? Because that's Emmanuel. To be ready and to watch is Emmanuel. And I know you say, oh, I got a word from God the other day. And that's Emmanuel. Don't, I got a dream. I got a vision. I got an answer to prayer. Well, yeah. Why not? That's Emmanuel. And then, seems like we can have Emmanuel all the time now, right? Eternal word, eternal, and word with power. No, you know what it says in Luke 1:37. And I'm just stating it again. But we know that the apostle said it. You know, for no word of God shall be void of power. Isn't the first chapter in those two verses of Romans? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the teachings, for it is the power. He's trying to fill us with power, because that's Emmanuel. And I don't. I'm getting spooked up now. I've got really good so. Praise and glory to God. Praise God. I don't know what kind of effect this is happening on you, but it's something. That's Emmanuel. Glory to Emmanuel. Glory to God. Glory to his Son. Glory to the Holy Spirit. He's going to fill us because he dunked us. He dunked us to be fully submerged in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. This is a positive, uplifting thing. This is what's supposed to encourage us. I love encouragement. I'm the least. I'm the one who needs so much encouragement. Man, I just, you know, if there wasn't a table over there where I can eat encouragement, I would eat it all up. Praise and glory to God, because there is so much other stuff that's out there. So I just wish I could go back to, who was the encourager there? Barabbas? What was his name? You know, Mr. Encouragement there. And I'd like to kidnap him. You know, this is why you never want, You know, what did they say? Jesus, you got to stay with us. No, no, you can't go there. You know, we want you here. Oh, but I got to go out there. You see, guys, I got to go tell the rest of Israel about the kingdom. See, they wanted Emmanuel with them. Praise and glory to God. You know, it's just so much. It's so much. And a prophet's name, a righteous man's name, or a cup of cold water disciple's name. And that's Emmanuel.
Amen, Andrew. Go ahead, Pat.
I was just thinking, actually, kind of a developing thought that I was studying about some other things related to the spirit, and this is these were these John 14 verses were some of them that I was dwelling on and thinking about, but this whole concept of Jesus receiving, you know, the Spirit from the Father, Holy Spirit from the Father. Obviously, he was born of the Holy Spirit. And his spirit, the spirit of Jesus, was holy. But yet, God seemed, it seemed significant and important that even Jesus, the Son of God, in order to be able to accomplish these works, had to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, had to receive the Spirit from the Father. Even the holy, righteous, only begotten Son of God had to, I say that, I'm gonna restate that, rechange it. He received the Holy Spirit in the baptism of the Spirit from the Father. And I'm going to say, as in one sense, to establish a pattern for us and establish a foundation that if the Son of God needed the Father in order to do his works, then we much, much more, absolutely much more, need to have at least that. And in the next verse after that, he said, in verse 12 of chapter 14, he said, "Truly I say unto you, he that believeth on me," he that believes on my name, "he that believes on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." And whether, when he says greater works, because I go to the Father. Now, He was the born son of God, and obviously everyone after him is born again. And we receive in that born again spirit the spirit of Jesus. And in one sense, we being baptized in the spirit receive this the spirit, another spirit, as he says in verse 16. He said, 15, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. That word, another, in Vine's dictionary, it says, expresses a numerical difference and denotes, in other words, a numerical difference, meaning there's one and then there's another, one and one. It's another of the same sort. Another comforter, like Jesus is our comforter, receiving his word, receiving his spirit. He is a comforter, our savior, but he is saying that if you keep my word, I will pray the Father and give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, that he will give us that other comforter, the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you and shall be in you. Obviously, an indicator of the transition from the old covenant relationship of Emmanuel, God with us, to Emmanuel, God in us. He shall be with you and shall be in you. So, if Jesus, and I can see that certain degree there, what he means by, excuse me, by in verse 12 when he says, and I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he'll do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. We have the ability to say, believest thou that I am in the Father and the Father in me, that the Father is in me, but not only is the Father in me, but also Jesus is in me. And there's the potential for greater works because it's now two spirits within me, additional spirits. Get a little crowded in here. Get a little crowded in here. I guess that's why we have to learn how to live in unity with God's word and be conformed to that image so that we blend in and are functioning and living and existing as one spirit, not multiple spirits. Me being dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Anyway, just kind of running off at the mouth here, but it's good. Those words are powerful, and if if we get a hold of them, Power of the Holy Spirit. I guess we went right back to your question, Michael, about the Holy Spirit.
Yep, that's all right. Thank you, Lord. I got something here that I'd like to share with you, if I could, and we could talk about it. This is by Lake. It says, "How to enter the will of God." He says there's two phases to enter the will of God. There are two phases to entering into the will of God. The first is to surrender. We probably know most of this. The first is to surrender, is the surrender of our will to do the will of God. In other words, die to flesh. Most people's conception of doing the will of God is to become a non-entity. Now, it is not God's ideal for you to have to be pushed around like a machine or move like a mechanism. The other is recognizing yourself as God's son and man's servant. Now that's a big one, man's servant. But also God's son is big as well. And he goes on and says, "I think the most wonderful exhibition of this truth that God can give us is in the fact that he gives us the Holy Ghost to use for God. For instance, the Lord says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But if you don't lay your hands on upon anyone, they're not going to be healed. However, if you have faith to believe, you have the Holy Spirit to be used by him and for him, your heart and your hands will be ready." And it's a sad thing to me that God has to go out on a special mission and hunt a soul up and wrestle with him in order to get him to do something for God. There used to be a Bible school in Ohio where they waited in continuous prayer meeting for 9 months for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I said to him, "Seems to me if you stay around for 10 years and 9 months, you'll miss the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But if you take off your coat and go out and use what God has given you to bless others, he'll give you more." That's pretty awesome. I like the part about recognizing yourself as God's son and man's servant. For some people, that's a hard one to swallow because they always want to be the one that does all the stuff, you know. But I'll tell you something. Reason I like Lake and Curd Blake too is they always preach and teach that you go out and lay hands on people in order to see the healing. You won't see healings unless you do it. And he encourages. I've been in Blake's Curry's teachings two or three times, a couple of times in Arkansas and one up in Illinois. And he always encourages people to get out and exercise your right to heal people because you are a son of God. You are a child of the living King, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit residing inside of you if you're filled with the Spirit. And that's why some people have, a lot of people have successful healing ministries because they will get out and go out and lay hands on the sick. And they will recover. I like to think that when people pray for it, they know that it's not them that's doing the healing, that they're trusting in the Lord to do what he said he was going to do in his word. If you lay hands on the sick, they're going to recover. And all we have to do is trust the Lord. And I don't want to put anybody in condemnation. What I want you to do is to go out and practice the things that God has told us already. Because we're going to need it in the days to come. I guarantee you. It's coming. It may be, you know, maybe sooner than later. A lot sooner than later. I just have I guess an addiction to seeing people healed. I do. I love to see people get healed. That is an awesome thing to watch God work. And what's interesting about it, Pat and Andrew and everybody else, is that I know that it's not me doing anything other than what he's told me to do, and that's to lay hands on and command, not beg and pray and all that kind of stuff. Just command that thing to come out of them, whatever it is. And then tell them, if you want to keep your healing, I can tell you who healed you. It was not me. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wants you into his kingdom. And if you want to keep that healing, come in and say hello to the Lord. And he'll keep their healing. Do you know that God will heal the lost? He'll heal the lost. How many of those Indians out there from India were covenant people? I venture to say not even a handful. T.L. Lowry just waved his hand. He said, I knew that I couldn't get out there and pray for every one of them individually. He said, the Lord told me just raise my hand and pray over the whole bunch and he'd heal them all. Guess what happened? He healed them all. Then he told them about who it was that healed them. That's the sign. That's the sign that they're looking for, is a God that will do what the people said that he will do. Not some God like Muhammad. Well, y'all know, so I ain't even going to go there. But they want to see miracles. They want to see a God that will take care of them. We're going to show it to them. Yeah, Pat.
I was just going to say, it reminds me of that verse, and I agree with what you're saying. Because that the lost are, what am I trying to say? The people of the new covenant in our time of the new covenant after Christ, I believe, are the people of faith. Well, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to get into that. This is what it reminds me of. Paul was talking to the Corinthians in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. Obviously, he was well-trained. He understood God's words. He was trained under the greatest teachers of his time that he spoke about, and had to come to a place, I'm sure, through the wilderness experience in his life of considering all that stuff that he learned as a load of BS or bull, as he would say it, and he had to get down to find out what the reality and truth was in God. He didn't come proclaiming the wisdom. He came, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men or the eloquency of speech or you know, sermons or whatever, but in the power of God, which actually does works. As Jesus said, greater works than these. And what were those greater works? He healed all that came to him. How can you do greater works than these when he healed everyone that came to him, you know, that sought him? So, casting out demons in a word, and walking on water, and moving through walls without, you know, without opening the door, etc. All of these things, they were a demonstration of power and sign, a sign of the reality of God. And I agree with, you know, what Michael, what you're saying there is that, you know, in a sense, God has commanded us to go out and do these works to give, to provide the signs, to provide the impetus for people to be shaken out of their earthly perspective and see for the first time that God does exist, because something that was not here a moment ago is now here, and it's, and the reality of it is facing me, whether it be a healing, whether it be a change in spirit, whether whatever it would be, a deliverance, a promise of something received, money ending up in your pocket, whatever it would be. So these are the things that open, you know, people's eyes to consider the reality of Christ and that Emmanuel in us. So anyway, I'll shut up. Praise the Lord.
No, that's okay. That's good. I can tell you this much. I mentioned Curry. I'll tell you what you can do. You can read the Real Good News to get a better background out of that book right there. If you'll read that thing and read it over and over and over again, you'll have a solid understanding of what healing is, the Real Good News, and you'll be able to quote scriptures to them. That's what Lake did. He would have them come in for 30 days. You come in here for 30 days, I guarantee you, you'll get healed. They would pump faith into them, faith the words like Andrew was talking about earlier, putting the word of God in them. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I'm just thinking on these 12 apostles, you know, the one that was replaced, Matthias, but they're there in Jerusalem. And Jesus healed everybody that came to him. And now they know what they did to Jesus. And they want to question about that. And they all have these questions, you know, like they're still in old covenant when they got their healings. And now Jesus, who is the Lamb of God and takes away the sins of the world. And now you got all these 12 apostles serving the vicinity of the same city where Jesus was, and countless amounts of people coming to the Lord. And even if they're to prove he's even God, they all came from all the different cities and they got saved. But all those people, you know, like, what about the Syrophoenician woman and the Roman centurion?
Yep.
You know, like, where,
just talking about it.
Like, why did they do that to Jesus? And now, he's sending Paul out to all the Gentiles everywhere, and Antioch and every, and they have to give something up in order, because they were cut to the heart, and they, you know, Cornelius didn't speak in tongues before he saw an angel. And how many angels? Did you not see an angel's word there, a message that came to you when you got born again? And now he's suddenly speaking in tongues, probably something they never did before, the people with Cornelius and stuff. And anyways, I just wanted to add to that, you know.
That, amen. What's interesting about the centurion and the other one was that they weren't covenant people. And the centurion wasn't praying for a family member. He was praying for a servant, not even a part of his family. His faith is what saved that, healed that servant. Praise God. That's God. That's God. So all we got to do is just get out there and do it. Put our hands out there. Come here, lady. Why are you walking behind that walker? How would you like to be healed? Would you praise God if God healed you right today? Oh, yes, I don't like this walker. I said, just go up there to him and say, well, all right, I'm going to pray for you. God's going to heal you. And you're going to take a walk with me and you're going to show everybody that you're healed. That's why you do it. And you give them a scripture. The word of God says right here, by his stripes, you were healed. That's past tense. I'm going to lay my hands on you. God's going to heal you. Me and you're going to walk and dance up through here in front of Food City. Glory to God, and show everybody the glory of God. You do watch what happens when you do something like that. You'll have a crowd out there. There'll be all three blind eyes can see. All four the walk the lame will walk. I've seen this before. I know it's going to happen. But it has to take people that are bold in Christ to go out there and lay hands on them. And we get that by getting in the Word of God and getting intimate with Him, very intimate, like Pat was talking about earlier. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for doing that for all of us, placing it in us to want to draw closer to you, to be our best friend and our most confident friend that we can talk to. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that we're all surrendering everything to you and just going to seek you with all of our heart, because we know that days are coming that we're going to need to be able to listen to your still small voice at all times. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that it makes no difference what the enemy out there is trying to tell people, you know. I thank you, Lord, that we just follow your leading, and what your leading does provides results. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless everybody tonight as they get off and do whatever it is that they do when they get off. Lord, most of them going to be sleeping, but some of them won't be. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for blessing Julie with energy and supernatural strength and wisdom, much wisdom, to carry on and help Fred till they can get somebody over there to help him full time. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that everybody we prayed for tonight is healed, delivered, and set free. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that everybody is under the Psalms 91 shield. In Jesus' name. Good night, y'all. Love you.